And humility is a two-way street. Christ on earth was humble. And now he expects us to return that to him. We need to be also humble.
In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the true living God revealed in the flesh over 2,000 years, who was born of the Virgin of all virgins forever. Her name is Miriam, Mary, our Holy Mother, the Mother of the Church, the Mother of the Saints, and the Mother of our Lord and God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank our Heavenly Father for His unfailing, never failing love, for He is love. As John 3:16, the center and the core of the entire Bible says, "And so God loved the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son." And how do we know this God is Father? Well, because He gave His begotten Son. Since He has the Son, then He is the Father. This God, who is the Father or love, loved the entire world without differentiation. And the secret of it all is in the word "so." It is so tiny, but so precious to all of us. The word "and so God loved the whole world," meaning the way the world was, God loved it as it was. "And so the world was in filth, and so the world was in sin, and so the world was in darkness, and so the world was evil, God still loved it." And how much did He love it? He gave His only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He sacrificed His Son on the cross for this sick, filthy, ugly, sinful, evil world. There is no greater love than this. Maybe someone may sacrifice their life for someone better than them or equal to them. But I don't think and I don't believe someone will die for someone who is a sinner, yet they are the Holy of Holies. God did it on the cross in the flesh. His name endures, reigns, rules, lives forever. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. All glory to His holy, mighty, and only name. In Him, salvation and redemption were made possible. Amen. The whole world needs to hear this. There will never be peace on the face of this planet until everybody receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's impossible. Because peace, life, tranquility only comes from God and God alone. And that's why Jesus Christ is God. Can't be anything else. Can't fit anything else. He's either God or He's nothing. Period. My beloved, the Son of God is God. Today's gospel, our church fathers, and maybe you have heard this, the bishop deliberately mentions our church fathers have selected this particular passage from the gospel, whether it be St. Matthew, St. John. But I mention always our church fathers. Why? Because it is foundational that we do not lose track of church fathers. So our church fathers, for today's liturgical service, they chose a passage from the Gospel according to St. John, and chapter 3, and a couple of verses from chapter 4. Chapter 3, from verses 22 till the end of the chapter, which is verse 36, and then chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. So it's John chapter 3, verses 22 till the end of it, verse 36, and then chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Today, the talk is about the Lord Jesus and also John the Baptist. The number one thing, please pay attention, the number one thing that made John the greatest born of a woman was his humility. By the testimony of Christ himself, no one is born greater than John from a woman. No one is born greater than John. Why? Because John the Baptist's success, his entire success, in fact, his entire ministry, and the only miracle he performed, John the Baptist, was him being humble. We do not hear the Holy Bible say John the Baptist healed the sick. We do not hear the Holy Bible saying about John the Baptist raising the dead or doing miracles. None of that. But why is John, yet he's done none of these things, he is the greatest born of a woman by Jesus Christ himself, because of one thing: humility. If there is one thing we ask the Lord to make us, ask the Lord to make you humble. If there is one thing, humility is the key to success. Humility is the key to prosperity. Humility is the key to eternal life. Humility is the key to Christ being your portion. Humility is the guarantee for the kingdom of God to be yours. Humility. And that was the success of John the Baptist. He was humble. And humility, my beloveds, is not a word being preached, is not a word being sang, is not a word being read or written. Humility is a life you need to live. And that's why when it comes to living humility, even mighty saints struggled with it. When it came to live humility, even saints struggled with it. Why? Because, my beloved, humility is not when somebody comes to this good-looking bishop. I have to rub it in, eh? Well, I know I'm good-looking, okay? Thank you, Rex. Thank you very much. When somebody comes to this good old-looking bishop and says, "Hey, bishop, you're wonderful, you're great, we love you." And then I reply and say, "Oh, no, please, you know, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. Please don't say this." That is not humility. You can wash it away. Because words are cheap. It's very easy said than done. It's very easy to say, "No, please don't say I'm this, I'm that, I'm nothing, I'm a piece of rubbish, whatever it is, I'm nothing. All glory to the Lord Jesus." But the Lord looks inside, not at the lips. He looks at your heart. Did you just mean what you said, or was just putting a show, an act on? We are, as Christians, we are not here to please people. Please, I want this to be very clear. We are not here to please people or to make it up to people. We are here to please the one and only. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the true living God, living revealed in the flesh. You're here to please him. Not me, not you, not anyone. But we are here to live him and live together through him. And humility is a two-way street. Christ on earth was humble. And now he expects us to return that to him. We need to be also humble. Just imagine this with me for a moment. When the Lord Jesus showed up at the River Jordan at the age of 30, so as John the Baptist, he was 30. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ in the flesh. He was older than the Lord in the flesh by 6 months. So they were 30 years of age, both of them. However, when Jesus of Nazareth appeared at the River Jordan at the age of 30
at that time, John the Baptist was worshipped. And when I say worship, he was venerated, he was honored, respected highly by the entire Israelite nation. He was the man of God, the prophet of God, the holy man of God coming, showing and leading the way to God. Everybody knew John the Baptist. Nobody knew Jesus of Nazareth. Nobody. So when the Lord Jesus appears in the picture, John the Baptist was at his peak in fame, glory, honor, respect, everything, you name it. He was at his peak. Jesus, who is he? We don't know him. Oh, you mean the son of the carpenter? Oh yeah, his mom is called Mary. Is that the one? Oh, he comes from Nazareth. Oh, please. Not a very good place. Troublesome place. He won't even make it to be even a prophet, let alone the Messiah. We don't know him, but we know John the Baptist. Now, as far as the human being is concerned, imagine this with me. John the Baptist is the most well-known, venerated man in all of Israel. Jesus comes along, nobody knows him, nobody really cares much about him. And then there was a dispute between John the Baptist's disciples and some of the Pharisees. On what purification? Well, you see, those people, those Pharisees came to the disciples of John the Baptist in a way, in a sneaky way, to try and feed them some poison in the hope they make their master, their teacher, John the Baptist, go against Jesus of Nazareth. And what was the trick? They said a few words to John the Baptist's disciples. They influenced them in a negative way. My beloveds, my son, my daughter, be very careful what people whisper in your ears. Yeah? Be very careful what people whisper in your ears. When people come, the Lord Jesus said it, the tree is known by its fruits. You shall know them from their fruits. If somebody comes and whispers in your ears words that are poisonous, words that are dividing, words that are destructive, you do not give an ear to such words, because the intention was not for goodness. It was for evilness. You do not give an ear to someone that tries to destroy, tries to change your way of thinking towards your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, whoever that person is. You shut the ear and shut the door in their face. Because if you are not here to build, don't try to destroy. Don't. If you cannot say a nice word, then avoid saying a nasty word. But let me tell you this. It takes a humongous effort to say a nasty word, but it takes no effort to say a loving word. No effort whatsoever. It is effortless. Why? Because what comes from God comes naturally. And what comes outside, away from God, comes unnaturally. And everything unnatural is uncomfortable. Because whatever is unnatural was never created by God. And whatever was never created by God means it is non-existent. And since it was non-existent, then that word is vain. And the Lord Jesus said, you will have to answer for every vain word you've said. And how are you going to give an answer to something God never wanted you to say? You'll be punished. That's the only way you're going to give an answer. You'll be punished. So they influenced John the Baptist's disciples. So they came to their rabbi. They said to John the Baptist, They said, you know that guy whom you've testified for about? You know that Jesus, when he came on the beyond the Jordan and he was, you said, behold the Lamb of God who carries away the sins of the world. Guess what? He is also baptizing here in Judea. But you know what, John, our rabbi? Do you know what, the prophet of God? Do you know what, the most famous? The most listened to? You know what? Jesus is baptizing more than you. You said very nice things about him, and look at him, he's taken your customers. You testified so nicely. You were very kind to him, and look how he's returning the favor. He's taken away your people. You're going to end up with nobody. If you don't do something about it now, you'll be left alone, Rabbi. The prophet of God. You are the one and only. Who is this Jesus? Go after him and fix him up. That's what the Pharisees were hoping to happen. What do you gain when you try to harm? What do you gain when you try to divide? What do you gain when you try to make people fall? Think, my son. Think, my daughter. You gain nothing but one thing. Harming your own self. Nobody else. Because God, who art in heaven, is very fair when it comes to judgment. So they said, are you going to leave him like that? He's taken away all the people from you. He's after your throne. He's after this. The throne. Church leaders till this very day fight over thrones. It's not about faith. My faith is better than yours, or my faith is straighter than yours. No, no, no. Please, please. Why don't you show your true colors? The division of the church, the only and main, not only, but the main reason for the division of the church is this, the throne. Because everyone wants their throne to be superior to their brothers. That's the problem. That is the problem. That is the problem in the church, in governments, in schools, at work, at home, in the streets, friends, neighbors, colleagues. That is the problem. It is my way, or you hit the highway. I don't care. It's my way. So they tried it with John the Baptist. Don't let Jesus take over your fame, take over your people, take over your throne, your position, your job. You are the prophet. Israelites people love you. Who is this guy to come and challenge you? And look at the reply of the true man of God. At his peak in fame and glory, replies and says to his disciples, oh, the enemy is trying to plant the tares in the midst of the good wheat. He said, listen, my beloved disciples, let me cut it short for you. The one you're referring to is the heavenly groom. He came from heaven. And I, John, your rabbi, I came from earth. Therefore, whatever comes from heaven is above and beyond all of us. And let me tell you another thing. Since he is the heavenly groom, well, he came seeking a bride for himself. And I am the groom's best man. Now, that's why in marriage, you're only supposed to have only one groom's best man, not 10. With all love and respect, I'm saying this, and humility. The other 9 are just for chick-chick photos. They get nothing out of it. The only ones we bless is the groom, the bride, the groom's best man, and the bridesmaid. The other ones, hello, hi, see you later. Stop spending money for no reason. Give it to me. There is plenty of people hungry in Africa and everywhere. Why are you spending it on all these suits and costumes? Man, relax. Give it to me, bro. He said, he is the heavenly groom. He is the one who is the owner of the bride. And I am the groom's best man. The only reason I have a place, the only reason I'm still holding on to this name is because of the groom. If it wasn't for the groom, there was no wedding, there was no best man, there was nothing. I am nothing without him. You see, he made me who I am now. It is the groom who made me, not me. So what do I do when I attend the wedding? I rejoice when I hear the voice of the bride's groom's. When I hear his voice, I rejoice. He needs to increase, I need to decrease. Don't try it with John the Baptist. You're not going anywhere with it. You will fail, because I came to this realization by the grace of God, who sent me to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah. He gave me humility. Humility. So I'm telling you, I'm nothing. And I told you before, I'm not the Christ. The very Pharisees who influenced you, now once again they tried it with me. You see, they tried with the master, with the rabbi, with John the Baptist. They failed. They tried it with the disciples. They said, oh well, we couldn't win with him. We're going to try and win with his disciples because they are weaker than him. And that's exactly what Satan does. He tried it with Jesus. He failed. He's trying to hurt Jesus through his disciples. Far from all of you. Only if we were alert and awake to what Satan is trying to do. It is so clear. It is so clear, crystal clear, that when two Christian brothers go against each other, they have listened to Satan. When the flock do not listen to the shepherd, they have listened to Satan. He said he needs to increase and I need to decrease. It is only natural for people to follow him because it is him, not me. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. He is the life giver. Not me. So it is only normal and natural. And what you just told me made me leap with joy. Why? Because this was my mission, to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah, so that when he comes, all of us follow him, including me, John the Baptist. That's the whole idea. All of us need to follow him, because if we don't, we are doomed. Because if you follow John the Baptist, you'll get nowhere but the grave. But if you follow Christ, the grave is empty, because he gives you eternal life. Humility, my beloveds, is foundational. You probably have heard this good old looking bishop say this many times. We need to deny ourselves. The Lord Jesus said, you need to deny yourself and carry the cross. What is carrying the cross? What is the cross? Death. What is death? Biblically speaking, self-denial. When somebody physically dies, do you see them anymore? No, they're gone. The Lord says, you need to be like that dead person, gone. You do not exist, because your existence is me now. I, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I am your existence. Without me, you have no existence. You don't live anymore for yourself. You are living for me. And you know why we see this in marriage? Well, Jesus is the heavenly groom. Today's gospel. He is the bride's groom. Well, in marriage, when the couple stand before the holy altar and the priest, well, you take him in good times and in bad times. Yes, Father. She has a very deep voice. In sickness and in health. Yes, Father. In richness and in poorness. Yes, Father. Hurry up. The plane is waiting. We go into Hawaii. What? This is not marriage. Marriage is not about, yes, it's fun. Oh, I'm married now, I'm going to go to honeymoon. After the honeymoon,
is a responsibility, and a very big one too. So will you take him? Will you take her? In good times, bad times, sickness, health, yes, yes, richness, poorness, yes, yes, yes. But prior to this promise and vows, she said to him, if you don't buy me a $50,000 diamond ring, I will never marry you. What kind of a man are you? My friend, her fiance, bought her a 50 grand diamond ring. Shame on you if you don't. Then what promises are you giving here? What promises? Are you marrying him because he got you the 50,000 diamond ring? Or are you marrying because his heart is that 50,000 diamond ring? You marry him for him, not for what he can do for you, not for what kind of a life he lives, what he has. No, for him. You marry him for him. You love him for him, not for anything else. This is the richness. This is the wealth. This is the unfading wealth. You love one another for you, not for your pocket, not for your fame, not for your power, not for your prestigious life, not for your car, for property, for money. I love you, not your house. I love you, not your mother. Just kidding. Just kidding. You better love his mom because she's cute. Especially the Middle Eastern mothers. I just want to make you laugh. I know I'm talking serious. That's why I want to break the ice a little bit. You love him for him, and you love her for her. When you come to the Lord, you do not come to the Lord because he made you a king. You do not come to the Lord because he made you a bishop like me. You do not come to the Lord because he made you famous. You do not come to the Lord because he made you wealthy. You do not come to the Lord because he gave you so many things. You come to the Lord for him. Now, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because it is you who are with me. I am following you, not what you do for me. Lord, and I'm talking now about me. Lord, I love you in the church, in the street. I love you when I'm accepted. I love you when I'm rejected equally. In fact, when I'm rejected, I love you more. I love you more when I'm despised for your sake, not anyone else's. I love you, Lord. You make me wealthy. You make me poor. You make me famous. You sweep the floor with me. I love you because the day you called me to you, you called me to you, not to anything or anyone else. It was you. You, Lord. This is the way we need to live as Christians. It is all about you, Jesus. And since it's all about you, then why am I being upset if the Lord is famous and not me? Why am I upset if the Lord is being followed and not me? Why am I upset if the Lord is being glorified and not me? Since it's all about you, Lord, and it's nothing to do with me, then I need to be the groom's best man. When I hear the bride's groom's voice, I rejoice. So you come in telling me, guess what? Jesus is taking people away from you. This is joy. This is music to my ears. I'm glad. I'm joyous. I pray not only the Israelites, I pray the whole world follow Jesus. Blessed are you, John the Baptist, for you have humbled yourself before your Lord, who is God. For your name shall be remembered forever. For your name shall live forever. For your name shall be honored forever. Because the righteous never dies. This was all made possible because of one word, humility. My son and my daughter, Christ and the church is reflected in marriage between husband and wife. The man represents Christ and the woman represents the church. So the bride represents the church, and the husband, the groom, represents Christ. So this is the spiritual marriage which Christ revealed in the tangible physical realm. That's why he instituted marriage, the very first thing on the face of this earth. When you live for one another, there is no problems. But when you live for yourself, you're causing division in that marital life. Because the vows are, will you take her? That doesn't say, will you take yourself in good times and bad times? Will you take her? And then he goes back to the bride and says, will you take him? So that means from this moment onward, son, you no longer live for yourself, you live for your wife. Daughter, you no longer live for yourself, you live for your husband. If the husband lives for his wife and the wife lives for the husband, I want to know, where will the problems come from? Never. Problems begin when the husband wants to do it his way, whether she likes it or not, and vice versa. That's where we are asking for trouble. And this is exactly why the church gets into trouble, when the church tries to do things her way, not the husband's way. And this is my message to all church leaders, including me, my brother in Christ, all the shepherds in the church of the Lord Jesus. The day we live for Christ, the flock is intact, very healthy. And the day we live for ourselves, you can kiss yourself goodbye and the flock with you. Even if you hold the highest rank in the church. Because without the Lord, neither you nor me are anything. We're nothing without Him. We're nothing without the Lord. You know when the church got into trouble? I'm talking about apostolic churches. More so. Because the non-apostolic will not understand what I'm saying, or will not accept what I'm saying. It doesn't matter. Everybody's free. But one day they will understand. In the apostolic church, the Lord Jesus established this relationship. The shepherd is a spiritual father. The flock are his spiritual children. And this is biblical, by the way, because St. Paul says that very clearly. I have given birth to you spiritually through the spiritual baptism. St. Paul says, I have given birth to you. You are my sons. You are my children through baptism. When I baptized you, you became my children. Therefore, since you are my spiritual children, I am your spiritual father. So the word father is biblical. St. Paul says it. So now, this is the position the Lord established in the church. The shepherd is the spiritual father. The flock are the spiritual children. The day that comes, where that spiritual father becomes a leader, not a father, just a leader, he becomes a master. And if he becomes a master, then the flock becomes slaves. He's lost the flock. And he's lost his Christ. Because Christ deals with the spiritual father, not a dictator. My beloveds, there is none like Jesus Christ. It just non-existent. Not anywhere near the Lord. There is no comparison. When it comes to Jesus Christ, don't even bother wasting your breath and time compare him to anyone or anything else. It's just non-existent. Non-existent, my beloveds. John the Baptist was a very wise man. He said, no. I know very well my position, my place, and my limitations. I know very well. I am the groom's best man. This is my limit. I cannot cross the line. He is the groom's. He is the groom. He is the bride's groom. And when you go to the wedding, my beloveds,
Who do you focus on the groom's best man or on the groom and the bride? Aren't they the reason for this, for that season? Yeah, the groom's best man is standing next to him, but you don't look at him. And even if you look, oh, hi, how are you? And you look at the groom and the bride. Because that's why you came. You came for them, for this couple. They made the occasion possible. So when you come to the church, you don't look at the bishop. I'm just the voice of the groom. You got to look at Christ, who's speaking to you now. It's not me. I'm nothing. I'm the greatest sinner ever to exist. I'm a nobody. I'm just a passing shadow. I'm delivering the voice of the Messiah. And once my job is done, then I am no longer. The reason for my existence was for His voice to be heard. That's why I exist. For His voice to be heard. Because He loves you. He has died for you. He has purchased you with His own precious blood. Get it? This is not a myth. This is not a story. I went up. I saw heaven. It is Jesus only. For God's sake, it is only Jesus. You will never see anyone else. It is Jesus who brings you home, my beloveds. No one else. And this is coming from a Christian Orthodox bishop and proudly said, yes, I'm a Christian first and then Orthodox, very proud. It is only Jesus, because Jesus is the only God you will see face to face. Because He became man, He's got a face now. He's got an image now. That's why we have icons. Not pictures, not photos, icons. That's another topic. Remember, my beloveds, this God who became man, He came to make you one with Him. Can you understand this? No. St. Paul calls it the great mystery. It's a great mystery. St. Paul says, I can't understand. God is making me one with Him. How can I be one with God? Well, that's what love does. The two are no longer two, but one. Where do you find this? Only in marriage. Parents and children, two different bodies. Brothers and sisters, two different bodies. But husband and wife, one body, one head. One being. You can't get any closer than this. The head and the body are one. Christ the head, and we are the body. Connected through the neck, which resembles faith. Love the Lord, my beloved. And say, Lord, I'm coming to You full of sin, full of error, full of weaknesses, full of foolishnesses, full of stubbornnesses, full of self-pride, empty, vanity of all vanities. I'm coming to You, Lord. I'm asking You, do as You wish in me, as You please. Make me the vessel of Your glory. Make me the child that You are proud of in the end. Use me as You wish. Whatever You do, do it, Lord. But one thing I beg You, and I know the Lord will never do it, but I'm begging You, I want You to hear it, Lord, from me. Whatever You do, Lord, don't walk away from me just because. I know I've hurt You. I'm stubborn. I'm sinful. I'm this. I'm that. I always break Your heart, but I beg You, whatever You do, Lord, don't ever walk away from me. Kick me, punch me, ridicule me, sweep the floor with me. Throw me wherever You want to throw me, as long as I'm in Your bosom. Whatever. The ultimate freedom is when the whole world says to you, you are a man of God, but you don't see the whole world. You only see Jesus. You are free. And freedom comes when I die and Christ lives in me.
I dissolve in him and he becomes all of me. No longer me. Now I'm living. So those who died in Christ are the living ones. And those who are living for themselves on earth are the dead ones. Saints in heaven are no longer living for themselves. They are all for Christ. Now they are truly living. How can you say a saint is dead? Impossible. They are embedded in Christ, who is the source of life. How can you be fully dissolved in the source of life and you say you're dead? You can't. Please, I beg you. After the incident I was going through, I'll leave you with this, yeah? It's all right. Are you in a rush? You're not in a rush. Thank you very much. I make executive decisions on your behalf. Thank you very much. I love you too. I have to tell you this joke, but wait. My daughter, please don't get me wrong here, okay? And my son, same thing. Somebody asked, he said, what is the difference between complete and finished? So the guy replied and said, complete is when you marry the right woman, you are complete. But if you marry the wrong woman, you are finished. So choose the right woman. Anyway, after the incident, it was hell for 4 months. I don't want to repeat what I said before. One of those hell nights, very late at night and a very cold winter night, I was sitting outside in a place I keep unknown. In the middle of that winter night, freezing, cold temperature, I was sitting outside, pitch black, awake, yeah, I'm not asleep, I'm sitting outside. I just happened to close my eyes for a couple of seconds, It was hell. I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't think of anyone. It was just hell. So I closed my eyes for a second. I saw myself walking with a monk who is, by the way, still alive on earth in a country I keep also unknown. I know this man. Yes, I've spoken to him over the phone. I saw myself walking with him. We were covered in a bubble. As I can't explain it. There's no earthly words that can explain spiritual heavenly things. Can't. It's just beyond us. So it was like a circle, all white light. And we're walking, we are encircled by this white light. Is here, and I'm next to him. Where we're walking in the middle of the desert. It was a desert. The only thing is the light that is surrounding us is shining before us and around us, maybe a few meters. And after that, it is pitch black. You cannot see anything until they stick their finger in your eye. It was that dark, that desert. And from that dark desert, I see this figure coming out, walking towards us. And he came from my side. And then he wrapped his arm around me with a big smile on his face. And then I opened my eyes. Maybe it took a few seconds, but what I saw will remain with me forever. It is engraved in the core and the crevices of my soul. So the following day I asked, because I could recognize the figure who came from that desert, from that dark desert, and came and wrapped his arm around me. I recognized the face. So I asked, oh, that monk who was walking, whom I was walking with, I'm not worthy to kiss his feet, is holy, and I'm a sinner, and he's still alive. He's a very old aged monk. He said to me, we are going to see this saint called Amba, or Saint Bimwa. I have never ever heard of this name in my entire life. I have never ever known that a person is called Bimwa that ever existed on the face of this earth. This monk is saying to me, we are going to see Saint Bimwa. So I opened my eyes. I said, who is this Saint Bimwa? I've never heard this name in my entire life. The following day, I asked a few people. They sent me a few pictures. I said, no. And then they sent me one. I said, oh, this one. Yeah, it was this guy. I researched, I called that country,
They said, this bishop, he was a bishop, a monk bishop. He passed away 7 years ago. Passed away 7 years ago. And his body is placed in a monastery that is named after Saint George. And that monastery, I went and I visited myself in 2023. Or was it 24? 23. In 2023, I visited that monastery, the very same desert I was walking with that monk in. It is exactly that desert where his body lays in that monastery today. But I saw him alive and he revealed himself to me. My children, let me tell you this. Just because you don't know, that doesn't mean that thing does not exist. Because you haven't reached the level for the Lord to open your eyes. Be humble. The more humble you are, the more the Lord will reveal to you. Because for the Lord to entrust you with things, He wants to make sure you don't get attacked by false glory. You know how easy it is for the Lord to give us miracles, but that'll make our head balloons. Imagine, like I heal a person and I raise a dead man. I'll be Christ. I'll take over the role of Christ because I wasn't ready. I wasn't humble enough. That gift which God gave me made me lose Him forever because I was engulfed with false pride. Satan will devour me even if I raise the dead. If I'm not ready for the gift, God will not give it. Because God is good and nothing comes out of Him but good. Now John the Baptist was truly humble. That's why he lives forever. Let's bow our heads. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Our good God and full of mercy, our good God and full of mercy, whose grace and mercy is poured upon all, pour, my Lord, the compassion of the delightfulness of your love upon your servants, and again transform them in the hope of renewal to the life of repentance. Renew in them your Holy Spirit, by whom they are sealed for the day of salvation. Purify them by your compassion from all flesh and spiritual blemishes, and assure the hope of their faith by the aid of your grace, and instill the walks of their behavior in the paths of righteousness. Please them along with the saints in your kingdom by the assurance of the hope of their faith, in the adoption as your children, and in the joy of your absolving mysteries. Empower them by the aid of your mercies to observe your commandments and fulfill your will, to confess, worship, and praise your holy name, the Lord of all, Father and Son and Holy Spirit forever. Amen. We thank the Lord. Amen. Come on, shout to the Lord. Come on, I want to hear you. A little bit more. Come on higher. Amen. Jeremiah 2:5. Hallelujah. I'm one of those American preachers, brother. What's up? Get me ladies some skin, brother. Love the Lord. And whatever you do, don't ever be a prosperity preacher. Because they are telling you mumbo jumbo. Don't trust them. Don't believe them. And don't give them money to get some more private jets and mansions. You follow the Lord, you better resemble the Lord. The Lord said, the birds of the sky have a nest to dwell in, and the foxes have homes to go and live in. Yet the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, has no place to lay his head on. You want to follow the Lord and live in a mansions and private jets and luxury and gold and linen and silver? Definitely you're not following the Christ of the Bible, my dear friend. Wakey, wakey. The clock is ticking. When the true Messiah comes, you know what he will say? I'll let you read it. Go to Matthew chapter 25 and see what the Lord said about the ignorant virgins. Do you want to be there with their portion? Over there, mate,
There is no mansions. There is no limousines. There is no planes and private jets. There is shish kebab. And you will be the shish kebab. And Satan will be your chef. Love the Lord. And don't worry what is happening in the world. Just pray for this delusional world. Chasing the mirage, thinking it's water. It's very sad. God bless you. I love you so much. But don't forget, the Lord loves you the most. God bless.